edition of Speaking of Strange.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy, gonna give me something to drink.
Oh. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, out here in the middle of the frigid forest of Madison County, along with producer Forrest Connor. It's just the two of us out here. We have our tents set up. This may be one of the dumbest things we've actually agreed to do for a Halloween edition of the show. If you're just tuning in, now seriously, we're out here in the woods. There are thousands of acres around here that are unoccupied except for bears and probably murderers. Forrest sprung the news on me last hour that this is the actual spot. You may have heard about this in the news, where two people were killed by a bear last year. And there are UFO sightings that have been rampant around here. And earlier in the show, we also saw some kind of a weird greenish light. At first, I thought it was an airplane, but that was not an airplane.
No.
And, you know, Forrest, your brother's a pilot.
Yes.
And, you know, that was not an airplane.
No.
So we may have actually seen one of these UFOs. I'm not sure.
Our broadcast transmission was a little wonky there, too, for a few seconds, few minutes.
Is that right?
From what I understand.
Okay. Well, yeah, hopefully everything's making it out okay now. So, yeah, being the last hour of our Halloween edition, well, I've got some great poems, some spooky stories. I think I might read a spell from the Necronomicon. And also, I have some exorcism audio, authentic exorcism audio that I want to play for you, which, again, if this doesn't send a chill down your spine, I don't know what will. Investigator Shelley Wright is not here with us tonight. She's the smart one. Again, I understand she's a little under the weather. It's too bad, because I was going to ask her about this story. There is a new website app that allows men to offer women bribes for dates. What's new, really, huh?
True.
Controversial new dating scheme is not available that encourages men to offer women gifts to go on dates with them, because it's been slammed as being sexist. It works like a lot of other dating apps. You put you get into contact with prospective partners, but instead of just the introduction, it allows you to dangle a financial carrot at females you like the looks of and hopes they'll bite and fall into your arms. Some of the gifts or bribes include plastic surgery and jewelry, sometimes even a boob job. Wow. The world has changed. We're getting old, Forrest.
We are.
Yeah. Our lives are half over now.
We're no longer the young whippersnappers in radio anymore.
No, you start seeing stuff like that. You're like, what is the world coming to? Well, hey, it is. It's Halloween, the Halloween edition, because, you know, this year Halloween falls on a Thursday, next Thursday. Let me remind everybody, I'm going to be giving a haunted Asheville walking tour tomorrow night. I'm only doing two of these the rest of the season. One is tomorrow night, the 27th of October, and then one is on October 31st. If you would like to come hang out with me downtown and go on a ghost tour, bundle up, come on down, and go to hauntedasheville.com. That's hauntedasheville.com to find out when the tours take place and how you can be a part of one. So here's a creepy story that everybody likes. Every Halloween I read this, it's from Scary Stories 3, More Tales to Chill Your Bones. It's called Harold. When it got hot in the valley, Thomas and Alfred drove their cows up to a cool green pasture in the mountains to graze. Usually they stayed there with the cows for 2 months. Then they brought them down to the valley again. The work was easy enough, but oh, it was boring. All day, the two men tended their cows. At night, they went back to the tiny hut where they lived. They ate supper and worked in the garden and went to sleep. It was always the same. And then Thomas had an idea that changed everything. Let's make a doll the size of a man, he said. It would be fun to make, and we could put it in the garden to scare away the birds. It should look like Harold, Alfred said. Harold was a farmer they both hated. They made the doll out of old sacks stuffed with straw. They gave it a pointy nose like Harold's and tiny eyes like his. Then they added dark hair and a twisted frown. And, of course, they also gave it Harold's name. And each morning, on their way to the pasture, they tied Harold to a pole in the garden to scare away the birds. And each night they brought him inside so he wouldn't get ruined if it rained. When they were feeling playful, they would talk to him. One of them might say, "How are the vegetables growing today, Harold?" And then the other, making believe he was Harold, would answer in a crazy voice, "Very slowly." And they would both laugh. But not Harold. Whenever something went wrong, they took it out on Harold. They would curse at him, even kick him or punch him. Sometimes one of them would take the food they were eating, which they were both sick of, and smear it on the doll's face. "How do you like that stew, Harold?" he would ask. "Well, you better eat it, or else." Then the two men would howl with laughter. Well, one night after Thomas had wiped Harold's face with food, Harold grunted. "Did you hear that?" Alfred asked. "It was Harold," Thomas said. "I was watching him when it happened. I can't believe it." "How could he grunt?" Alfred asked. "He's just a sack of straw. It's not possible." "Let's throw him in the fire," said Thomas, "and that will be that." "Well, let's not do anything stupid," said Alfred. "We don't know what's going on. When we move the cows down, we'll leave him behind. For now, let's just keep an eye on him." So they left Harold sitting in a corner of the hut, and they didn't talk to him or take him outside anymore. Now and then the doll grunted, but that was all. After a few days, they decided there was nothing to be afraid of. Maybe a mouse or some insects had gotten inside Harold and were making those sounds. So Thomas and Alfred went back to their old ways. Each morning they put Harold out in the garden, and each night they brought him back into the hut. When they felt playful, they joked with him. When they felt mean, they treated him as badly as ever. And then one night, Alfred noticed something that frightened him. "Harold is growing," he said. "I was thinking the same thing," Thomas said. "Maybe it's just our imagination," Alfred replied. "We've been up here on this mountain too long." The next morning, while they were eating, Harold stood up and walked out of the hut. He climbed up on the roof and trotted back and forth like a horse on its hind legs. All day and all night he trotted like that. In the morning, Harold climbed down and stood in a far corner of the pasture. The men had no idea what he would do next. They were afraid. They decided to take the cows down into the valley that same day. When they left, Harold was nowhere in sight. They felt as if they had escaped a great danger and began joking and singing. But when they had gone only a mile or two, they realized they had forgotten to bring the milking stools. Well, neither one wanted to go back for them, but the stools would cost a lot to replace. "Oh, there really is nothing to be afraid of," they told one another. "After all, what could a doll do?" They drew straws to see which one would go back. It was Thomas. "I'll catch up with you," he said. And Alfred walked on toward the valley. When Alfred came to a rise in the path, he looked back for Thomas. He did not see him anywhere. But he did see Harold. The doll was on the roof of the hut again. As Alfred watched, Harold kneeled and stretched out a bloody skin to dry in the sun. There you have it, my friends. Story of Harold from Scary Stories 3. More tales to chill your bones. collected from folklore and retold by Alvin Schwartz. Definitely another book you should add to your collection. It just gets creepier and creepier out here in the woods. It's getting colder. We're keeping the fire burning, though. And hopefully you'll turn the lights down and light some candles yourself. Because we want you to share this atmosphere with us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more weird stories, spooky stories, poems, and yes, later, some actual audio from a real exorcism. I am Joshua P. Warren. Thanks for spending your evening with us. This is the Halloween edition of Speaking of Strange.
And it started sometime around midnight. Well, at least that's when you felt.
Okay, I think this
Connor
went to the bathroom and has not returned, and the show must go on. You know, I suspected all night long that he was going to try to scare me tonight, and I have, hopefully everything is sounding okay at this point. I am not used to producing the show and hosting it. I feel a little bit like Art Bell right now. West of the Rockies, east of the Rockies. it appears that I think everything's online. So hopefully this is coming through and you're able to hear me okay, and Mr. Connor will be back. I swear, if he's trying to scare me, I'm a little bit miffed that he would leave me. Well, if you just turned, if you just tuned in to the show, tonight Forrest and I are camping out in the middle of nowhere for this special Halloween edition. We're in the middle of Madison County. We already have our tent set up, and apparently there have been people who have been killed here by bears. There is a UFO history here, and again, during the break, Mr. Connor sort of disappeared, apparently, and so, hey, I know what to do. I can run the show. I don't need... excuse me. That comes later. I do not need a producer. I know what to do. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read to you a poem that is very popular on our Halloween editions. It is called The Dance of the 13 Skeletons. Yeah. Turn off the lights, light the candles. Envision what I'm about to read. Use your imagination. Envision this actually happening. In a snow-enshrouded graveyard, gripped by winter's bitter chill, not a single soul is stirring. All is silent, all is still. Till a distant bell tolls midnight, and the spirits work their will. For emerging from their coffins, buried deep beneath the snow, 13 bony apparitions now commence their spectral show, and they gather in the moonlight, undulating as they go. And they'll dance in their bones, in their bare, bare bones, with the click and the clack and the chitter and the chack and the clatter and the chatter of their bare, bare bones. They shake their flimsy shoulders, and they flex their fleshless knees, and they nod their skulls in greeting in the penetrating breeze, as they form an eerie circle near the gnarled and twisted trees. They link their spindly fingers as they promenade around, casting otherworldly shadows on the silver-mantled ground, and their footfalls in the snowdrift make a soft, susurrous sound. And they dance in their bones, in their bare, bare bones, with the click and the clack and the chitter and the chack and the clatter and the chatter of their bare, bare bones. The 13 grinning skeletons continue on their way as the strains of soundless music they begin to swing and sway, and they circle ever faster in their ghastly round delay. Faster, faster, ever faster, and yet faster now they race, winding, whirling, ever swirling in the frenzy of their pace, and they shimmer in the moonlight as they spin themselves through space. And they dance in their bones, in their bare, bare bones, with the click and the clack and the chitter and the chack and the clatter and the chatter of their bare, bare bones. Then as quickly as it started, their nocturnal dance is done, for the bell that is their signal loudly tolls the hour of one, and they bow to one another in their bony unison. Then they vanish to their coffins by their ghostly thoroughfare, and the emptiness of silence once more fills the frosted air, and the snows that mask their footprints show no sign that they were there. But they danced in their bones, in their bare, bare bones, with the click and the clack and the chitter and the chack and the clatter and the chatter of their bare, bare bones. The Dance of the 13 Skeletons from Nightmares, Palms Trouble Your Sleep by Jack Polutsky. Sorry if there was a little bit of chaos in the background. The poker fell down and I was trying not to catch on fire. Because Mr. Connor has not reappeared. It's just the two of us out here. And I don't know what Mr. Connor thinks he's trying to pull here tonight. He may not have a job as a producer soon, I tell you that. Okay, fine. It's very cold. It's very spooky out here. I do not ordinarily produce my own show, but I'm not going to sit around and wait on Forrest tonight. Let's go to some news stories. How about this one from Gastonia, North Carolina? A man is back behind bars there, accused of showing his privates, this time to a Walmart cashier. I love a good Walmart story. Police said the 33-year-old man was placed on probation and was wearing a GPS monitoring system when he exposed himself in the checkout line at Walmart in Gastonia to the cashier. The man has been arrested for indecent exposure 7 other times in the last 2 years. He was just released after his last incident. It says, during a 2-week period, he flashed a woman in a church parking lot. And there were reports all in the area of people who did not press charges. Anyway, apparently he goes into the Gastonia Walmart, this guy, walks up to the cashier, exposed himself, and said, quote, "Behold my manly goodness." How do you like that? "Behold my manly goodness." No one was impressed. Security grabbed and detained the man. All the people working in the store said they're glad he is off the street. And they said, in public, you just don't go around doing stuff like that. Okay, we're going to take a break. I think I even have a McDonald's story I want to share with you tonight. I've got another creepy poem. And I'm going to also, I believe, pretty soon here, read from the Necronomicon and see if we can conjure up something. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the Halloween edition. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Linger there within its dismal walls.
through the dark, they're creeping, crawling, frenzied furies, battling, brawling, sprawling, calling, caterwauling through the dusky halls. Filmy visions, ever flocking, dart through chambers, crudely mocking, rudely rapping, tapping, knocking on the crumbling doors. Tortured spirits whine and wail, they grope and grasp, they wildly flail, their hollow voices rasp and rail beneath the moldering floors. Shadows from the dim hereafter hang from every creaking rafter, laughing disembodied laughter in their ghostly glee. Shades of evanescent matter whisper their unearthly patter, rattle chains that chill and shatter on their spectral spree. Revenants on misty perches taunt the ghost that lunges, lurches, as it desperately searches for its vanished head. Shapeless wraiths devoid of feeling hover blindly by the ceiling, ranting, chanting, shrieking, squealing promises of the dead. In the corners, eyes are gleaming. Everywhere are nightmares streaming, diabolic horrors screaming in the sombrous air. So shun this place where specters soar. It's you and you they're waiting for, to haunt your souls forevermore in their castle of despair. That is called The Haunted House by Jack Prelutsky. It's from the book Nightmares, Poems to Trouble Your Sleep. And you know, I mentioned that when I was a teenager, I started publishing books. My first book was called Joshua Warren's Gallery of Mystery and Suspense, and I published it around the age of 14, 15. And in that book, I had a story here called a poem called The Halloween. And I'll just read this for you, a little poem from my book. By the way, the forest is still gone. And this is BS because, it's a Halloween edition. I like to be able to focus on the content here, and Forrest is supposed to produce the show, so I'm now doing everything. And if it sounds a little wonky, you know why. Hopefully everything is coming across okay. Please forgive us if we have any technical issues, if the mixing sounds weird. I suspect Forrest is trying to scare me or something like that, but he's gone, and it's just the two of us that came out here to go camping in the middle of this property in Madison County. Forrest arranged the whole thing, and now, he went to pee, and he hasn't come back, so not very happy about that. Here is The Halloween. When wind is crisp and air is cold, the time has come of tales I've told, of warlocks' spells and women's screams. The night I speak is Halloween. 'Tis on this night God set aside for Satan to redeem his pride, to use the spell the witches hold to free all of the condemned souls. This witch's Sabbath, it may seem, would only come upon one's dream, but on one night of every year the demon's horror shall appear, and spirits will fill all the sky to roam the place that they have died. The cemetery is a place that wise men leave with quickened pace, for once the spirits have appeared, the fate of man you will not hear. So raise your crosses if through rain, and garlic every window pane, for when the witching hour is here, the fool is all who does not fear. There you go. Joshua Warren's Gallery of Mystery and Suspense. Try to keep this fire going. It's dying down. So, I'm pretty much doing three things at this point. I'm trying to host a show, I'm trying to produce a show, and I'm trying to keep from freezing to death out here in the middle of the sticks. And I swear, if Forrest jumps out of the woods and he's got some, you know, mask on or whatever, I'm probably going to take this poker and just kill him with it. Maybe some of you have a copy of The Necronomicon. This is a controversial book because it's sort of a spinoff of H.P. Lovecraft's work. There is a debate over how legitimate this is as a book of spells and incantations. The back of the book, I've had this for years, and the back of the book has a quote, and here's the quote: "This is the testimony of all that I have seen and all that I have learned. For this is the book of the dead, the book of the black earth, that I have writ down at the peril of my life." I won't go into the full history and background of the Necronomicon, but it's full of spells that are supposed to bring spirits forth, and many of them seem nonsensical, but that's how it works with magical spells, because we're speaking not the language of English or German or French. You know, this is the language of magic. And even if you don't know what you're saying, supposedly, you know, you can conjure things forth. And this may seem like an unlikely time for me to do this, since I am now essentially in my own element alone out here in the woods. But I told you I would, so let's go for it, shall we? Here is an actual spell that I'm going to deliver. It's called an invocation. It's supposed to increase paranormal activity. Some of you might not want to hear this. You can turn off your radio if that's the case, because for all I know, something will appear and come through your speakers. Isma siate shamushi lipsuri ruxishimi aliminute. Isina mina ilami rabuti shima yadababi. Dini dina alakti limda al sikunushi ilani mushiti. Ia masarate is masarate ba eda sa masarate. Okay, that is an invocation from the Necronomicon. And you know what? When we come back from this break, I have two things I want to play for you. I probably shouldn't have done that, actually. The more I think about it. Two things, and I'm going to attempt to play for you. One is an EVP, okay? This is like a ghostly audio recording. It's very faint in the background that I hope you can hear. And then I'm going to play some authentic exorcism audio. And this, sometimes when you hear this, it feels like somebody's pouring ice water down your back. It's creepy as hell. But I also mentioned I have a McDonald's story. So let's jump to that, shall we? Here is a story from Lake Wells, Florida. Says here, we assume this is part of the Obamacare Golden Arch plan, because a baby was born in McDonald's. A woman went into labor inside a McDonald's bathroom and gave birth to a baby boy there. Ugh. How gross would that be, to be laid down in a McDonald's bathroom giving birth to a baby? She said, get some boxes, let's flatten them out. She laid down there. They said, you know, she can't have a baby over the toilet in the bathroom. They claim this woman was only 6 months pregnant. So this was a very premature baby. She just stopped about 9:30 in the morning to get a cup of coffee and then realized, I got to go to the bathroom. They have the exchange with the 911 dispatcher. Caller says, the baby's out. 911 says, the baby's completely out or still in the sack. And the caller says, should we bust it? 911 says, yeah, go ahead and bust it. Caller, oh, the little baby's moving. There he is. 911, is the baby crying? Not yet. Can you imagine that? Giving birth to a baby in a McDonald's bathroom? Okay, my friends. We're coming up on a break. When we come back, we're going to be in the final minutes of tonight's special Halloween edition of the show. Hopefully, Mr. Connor will rematerialize. I'm going to play for you two bits of audio. One is an EVP, and the other is authentic, creepy audio from a real exorcism. I hope you're enjoying tonight's show. It's become very awkward and a little more difficult than I anticipated, but I think during this break, I'm going to take the flashlight and look around and see where the hell forest is. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking in Strange. Final minutes of tonight's special Halloween edition of Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. I still have not found Forrest. I walked around in the woods with a flashlight, and if he's planning to scare me, well, he better do it now, because otherwise I'm getting really worried. He went off to use the bathroom earlier this hour, and I have not seen him, and that is not like Forrest. But let's go ahead and wrap up the show tonight. The first thing that I want to share with you is it's an EVP recording. It's rather faint, so you know how these things go. Turn your radio up, and because I want you to hear this. Listen in the background to the voice. There's a kid talking, but listen to what the voice is saying behind the kid. All right? Turn your radio up. Listen to this very carefully. Here we go.
Broadcast yourself. So right now, I'm just trying to point out the obvious so that you know. Like, just so you know, because it's easier. But, okay, so here you go. Now, when you look...
Okay, that even scared me. And I knew what was coming. I'm sorry, folks. That was my little trick for trick or treat. Okay, now that was just totally a joke that I had planned for you tonight. No, seriously, here is actual exorcism audio. And you know, there have been a number of exorcisms done over the years. Of course, we're all familiar with the story of the young man who inspired the Exorcist movie, and you probably saw maybe the exorcism of Emily Rose. There are all kinds of exorcism audio clips that are out there. But this is an exorcism clip that comes from Russia, and it's very typical of a real exorcism, because I have attended a number of real exorcisms. And what you see is something like, you know, often like a young woman or a little girl, and she opens her mouth and just the most horrific sounds come out. And you think to yourself, you know, how could this be? I've even been to houses where objects have been flying around and that kind of thing. So this is actual exorcism audio from an exorcism that was done in Russia. And remember this as you're listening to this. This is a little girl you're hearing these sounds from, okay? If that doesn't make the hair stand up on the back of your neck and give you some little goosebumps, I don't know what will. And what is it that, you know, causes this possession that people experience? I don't know the answer to that entirely, but it's a big enough question that I could devote an entire show to it. Unfortunately, tonight's show is coming to an end. I still have seen no trace of Forrest. So, you know, again, we came out here into the woods tonight to camp out. This is his last hurrah before his wedding. And, you know, it's just the two of us out here. And I'm going to have to go out and really get serious about looking for him to figure out what happened. The reality is, apparently last year some people were killed by bears out here. There's other weird stuff that happens out here, and you know, this show, yeah, we entertain you, but we do go to real places where we're, you know, real phenomena is happening. And so I'm going to get out there and look around, and hopefully I will find Forrest, because this is not like him. In the meantime, let me just leave you with saying, you know, it's Halloween time. Go to hauntedashville.com. Come join us on some of our tours. I'll be giving some of them in person, and also go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com, and look at the world's wildest ghost photos. So thanks, thank you for joining us tonight on this special Halloween edition of the program. It's Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. I'm not sure exactly when we will be back on the air. but I wish you all a happy Halloween. Good night.